And I want to thank you again for being here and a little bit of chaos with the young people coming in. But isn't it wonderful to see kids that were here? And so I told Brother Gabe as I was walking, I saw the kids jump off the top. I said, that's nothing. I've been tempted to do it a lot of times, but I'm afraid I'll fall and break something. So we're excited to see the young people. Well, I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 33. While you're finding your place there in the book of Psalms 33, I did hear this story about, we've got a lot of folks that are getting married this summer, and which is always a joy. But I heard a story about this fella, young couple was getting married, and the groom-to-be came to the pastor, and he said, I'd like to make a little deal with you. And he said, if you could leave out that love, honor, obey, all that stuff, if you could just kind of steer clear of that, he said, I want to give you $100. And the pastor was short on money, as happens sometimes. He said, okay, we can do it. And I'll just leave that out and just leave it a little bit more slighted towards you, the groom. And the next day, he got down or got ready, and they were coming down there. The bride was coming down the aisle, and the groom was there, and they got to the vows part. And the pastor said to the groom, said, do you promise to bow down, bring her breakfast in bed, meet every whim, wish, and will that she ever has, and do it happily and never say anything about it? And the groom gulped really hard and swallowed. He said, I do. And then they went ahead with the rest of the ceremony, got it done. And afterwards, he was saying, preacher. He pulled on his sleeve and he said, preacher, I thought we had a deal. He said, oh, yeah, about that. He reached in and got the $100 bill. And he said, here, I got a better offer. So it happens sometimes. I do want to preach about America today. And many of you in here are old enough that you know, and if you're not old enough to know that there was a time, we live in a blessed section of America, and we kind of held on a little longer than maybe some of the rest, but many of you remember a time in America when you did something wrong, even if your parents weren't there, you got a whooping at their house, and that was really just a warm-up for the real one that was coming when you got home. You remember when the doors weren't locked, and people just come and go, and if they needed something, they'd borrow it and bring it back. You remember when you go to the store and the people were, they'd wait. If they saw you backing up, they didn't pull right up against you just to prove their dominance. They stayed back a little bit and let you get out and go on. Most men would hold a door for a lady as she would come in. Probably the most risque thing you saw on TV was Andy Griffith smoking a cigarette out on the front porch with Barney. Single lady could walk down the street of a city and not have to worry about being bothered by different things and people around. Sunday was special. The Lord's Day, people would gather in the house of the Lord. A lady wearing a knee-length church dress didn't seem like an alien somewhere. Wonder where she got that strange outfit. Pride was something you felt about your kids and their accomplishment, not a month that we use to celebrate perversion. Pink and blue bassinets meant something because you could easily tell which one you were going to go visit in the nursery. And a handshake settled the things that you were discussing, because after that handshake, really nothing else was needed. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't think those days are going to come back because we live in the society we do. And I realize they might not. But I also do realize this, that the things that I just mentioned, most of them had their root at the Bible-believing Christians who took their marching orders from the Word of God. That handshake, that comfort in when somebody said something, that their word was their bond, that taking care of somebody else, that being helpful to somebody who is needy, those are all Christian principles. You say, well, people do those even that aren't saved, and that's true, they do. I'm not trying to corner the market on this. But there was a day when our churches thundered out about the need for people to live by the Christian doctrines. And I want to serve us warning as we look into Psalm 33, that as we leave the Christian foundations, whether you're a Christian or not for a person, we leave those Christian foundations, we find ourselves in a land that's not near as safe or hospitable as it used to be. Psalm 33, the Bible says this, verse number 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. We'll get to a point in just a little bit. There was a time when preachers thundered out that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In Numbers chapter 32, be sure your sin will find you out. And don't think that we can cheat, rob, and steal and not have a God that notices it. Well, that's found right in verse number 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 15, he fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There's no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And house is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. One last verse, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. I want to preach for just a little while about that blessed nation that's listed in verse number 12. And I want to pick a few things out of these verses, and I trust that the Lord would bless us for these next few moments that we have. Father, be with us now. Lord, I don't want to be a person that's just reminiscent of old days just because the old days, dear Lord, old days aren't always better days. But Lord, Bible themes are always better than worldly themes. And I pray that we would adjust to those Bible themes if we've seen ourselves slip from them. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned in my prayer that just because something's old doesn't mean it's better. There have been great things to come along. My dad says, oh, the good old days aren't that good, because he said, I remember when you had a restroom need that you had to go outside, you know, three rooms and a bath. That was three rooms and a path, and as they would have, many of them have back where I came from. And my dad said, it's also not a bad idea when you're cold in the wintertime just to turn the knob up a little bit and get it to be warmer in your house than going out and getting wood or coal or something. And there's a lot of things that are much better than they were back in the day. And so I'm not preaching that we ought to go back 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or anything like that. But what I am preaching this morning is that we ought to realize that our nation is blessed, regardless of what generation you're talking about. And subsets of our generation is blessed when they find themselves standing upon the word of the Lord. We all like to hear that verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, because we like to be blessed. But we also acknowledge that Scripture doesn't mean that everybody in a nation has to be converted or else God won't bless them. We know that's true from Sodom and Gomorrah. God would have been faithful to that country if it just found 10 that were righteous. We're blessed in this nation because of the foundations upon which we were built. Now, I understand before anybody says that, well, we're not found as a Christian nation, I would challenge you to do a historical study of our founding fathers. And each of them, almost each of them, would say that we were, in fact, founded as a Christian nation. In November the 11th, 1620, the Pilgrims signed the Mayflower Compact, saying this, I quote, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, to plant this first colony. They had no delusion about why they were coming here. And so I see that even in our most righteous of days, we may not have had everybody that was a believer in Jesus Christ, but the foundings of our nation were such that it was very, very clear that we were founded as a Christian nation. I see as we're a blessed nation. And I don't want to come to us to know, let everybody know, that we need not back up. We always need to be kind, but we need not back up when people try to challenge that and say, oh no, we're a secular nation. And I thank God that we have the freedom to do what we're doing right here, just like I thank God that somebody down the street has the freedom to do something totally contrary to what we're doing, because that's where they feel like they ought to be. And if we don't have our freedom, then they don't have their freedom. And nothing should be forced upon someone. But I do realize this, Lewis Evans, who started the Bel Air Presbyterian Church, of which Ronald Reagan was an attender when he was in California. He said this, speaking at the National Cathedral in D.C. He said, I quote, our history has been inseparable from Christianity. The Pilgrims landed here in the name of Christ, as I mentioned. The Huguenots came in the name of God. William Penn settled in Pennsylvania in the name of the Nazarene. And the Padres landed on the shores of California with crucifixes in their hand. And what I'm saying this morning is this. We need not back down. We don't need to be proud or arrogant or unkind. But we do need to remember that our nation was founded upon biblical principles. And I want us to rise up as faithful Christians who sometimes get beat down by liberal teaching, and remember that our forefathers had that same Bible under their arm as you currently have. What shall the righteous do, the Bible says? Well, the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so what I get the opportunity to do this morning is to remind us all, regardless of what everybody else in the world does, I get to remind each and every one of us that we ought to stand upon the principles of the Word of God. Let me give you just a few thoughts about our nation. Number one, I want you to realize our Christian heritage. I want you to realize our Christian heritage. Back in verse number 12 of the psalm that we were in, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." During the darkest days of the American Revolution, a true story, but a farmer had come home to his wife, and he said to her, "Honey, the British will be defeated. They're going to lose this war." And she asked, "Why?" And he said this, "I saw George Washington today on his knees in the snow praying for God for guidance and help." And that farmer added to his dear wife, he said, "A faith like that cannot be defeated." It was a church where Samuel Adams and others marched out for the Boston Tea Party. It was at a church, the Old North Church, where the signal lanterns were hung to warn of the British were coming. It was a Christ Church in Philadelphia where Washington would bow and worship and pray and serve the Lord. It was a church where Patrick Henry shouted, "Give me liberty or give me death." I'm just trying to get us to remember that there's a lot of history in this wonderful nation, and a lot of it intersects directly with a church house like you're sitting in. Does that mean that every great American was a Bible believer? Not on your life. But it does mean that our foundations, and as we look at the Constitution and we see the laws that were brought into being, we find their root in the Bible that you hold in your lap. Blessings are from the Lord, verse number 12. But not only that, strength doesn't come from man. Verses 16 and 17, "There's no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." I would say to you that we've had homes in our nation that have lifted up the name of the Lord and reminded them that we're not great because of our greatness. We're great because of our God. We've had homes that lifted up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I challenge you, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And I know that some of you, or you're on recycled kids. You had the first batch and you got them out, and now you're doing the second batch. Well, praise the Lord for you, and I'm glad you're doing it. Bring them up as well in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I know we joke about grandmas and grandpas, and the more I see, there's not too much of a joke. I know you get them all hopped up on sugar and ice cream and candy and everything up, and you rev them up and rev them up and rev them up and tell your kid to open the car door and you throw them in. That's okay, I guess. That's your right as grandma or grandpa. But please don't let down on this. Don't let down on the fact that you're training them, trying to train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Brother Rule has a wonderful, faithful dad who my son Jared surrendered to preach when his dad was preaching a week of camp. And so Brother Rule, who many of you will meet tonight, but he has the blessed privilege to tell his children, not only follow the way we're living, but you can follow the way that Grandpa lives as well. And so please don't minimize the impact that you have on the next generation. And some of you are even on the next generation after that. But I'm saying this morning that we ought to have Christ-honoring homes, because strength doesn't come from a nation, doesn't come from a kingdom, doesn't come from horses, as it says in verse number 17. It comes from Almighty God. That passage in Ephesians chapter 6 where it tells those fathers not to provoke your children to wrath. Can I tell you where the origin is right in that passage? It's all originated in verse number 18 of chapter 5, and that is where it's telling Christians to be filled with the Spirit. You want to know how to have a godly home? Come back and yield yourself to the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Let Him lead you, and let Him fill you, and let Him guide you. Have Christ honoring homes. Oh, that the homes that we were raising our young people in would be ones that spoke of Christ and forgiveness and the need for kindness, and that read the scriptures, not ones where prayer was absent and kindness was not nowhere to be found. My friend, I'm trying to get us to see this morning that strength doesn't come from men. Strength comes from the Word of God. And that means that strong families get built on the Word of God. And strong families are the ones that lead strong churches. And strong churches are the ones that proclaim to the people of Brazil the gospel message that worked right here in Gray, Tennessee. I see not only should we realize that blessings come from the Lord in verse 12, realize our Christian heritage, and realize that strength doesn't come from man, raise up our homes to be those that trust in the Lord. But I see verse number 18 and 19. We ought to remember and remind ourselves that God's watchful eye sees all. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive. There was a time in this nation when pulpits were alive with fiery preachers. And I don't mean that they were thundering with their voice, because some are very monotone and low-key and some are wild men swinging from chandeliers, and all of them are fine. But what I mean by fiery preachers are that they just were dumb enough to realize if this book says it, I'm going to say it back. Proverbs 13:15, the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. And there was a time when people, pulpits in our nation, they would thunder out that the life of drugs and immorality and dishonesty is dangerous and hard and always gets you to a bad end. There is also times in our nation, as I mentioned, Galatians chapter 6, when thundering pulpits would say that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And they would put the fear of God in some people to say, live the way that God would have you live. Churches have failed America. I don't believe that our churches have been true to faithfully give out the Word of God. You see, because we can't blame the world that's unsaved. They're simply doing what's natural for them. And I don't think that every Bible-believing church has to look just alike, because there's some up in New York City and there's some down in different regions, and southern ones are going to be a little different than the ones in the Midwest and all that. I don't think they all have to look alike just because our regions don't look alike. But they all ought to have this in common, that they all have somebody that stands and says, thus saith the Lord. Amen. From the beginning, when they say, thus saith the Lord, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, all the way to the end. Brother Steve just finished up a series in this Sunday school class, if you come to this one at 10, about Revelation. All the way to the end where you say, thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen. And my friend, there was a time in our lives when our pulpits were certain about what they preached. And now it seems like we can't find we stumble over the truth looking for our preference. And I see here that God's watchful eye is over all of these things. And I want to commit ourselves to this region, that we would be a church. We may not always be the flashiest. We may not always be the best equipped, regardless of that, but we will always be one. As Preacher Lasty for almost 5 decades stood and preached, and preachers, great ones before him, and Brother Jody after him, and now me. Some of them better than others as far as their speaking and all of that, but matters not. One thing they've all had in common is they all stood upon the Word of God and said, this is what the book says. And I believe that in our nation, that's something that is needed so desperately. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that familiar revival passage, if you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to close here. The Bible says, if my people, and I'd just like to spend a few moments there, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, and ask us as a church to pray for this nation. Miss Lauren just sang a little bit ago, praying in that a song that's a prayer, Lord, turn the tide. You and I both, we all know that there's so much ungodliness going on in our nation. And I'll give you another one. There's so much ungodliness going on under the auspice of church. And we need our Father to turn the tide. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Can I just give you this moment's message? If my people, in the Old Testament, but the principles are still true today, my people, meaning those that know the Lord, this morning I would ask each of you, would you be in that group of my people? Because this specific verse, if we were applying it today, would be to those that know the Lord already as their Savior. And perhaps you're here today, and maybe you came for the kids, and you come to see your kids do a great job singing for us, and then they did. Or maybe you just guest, and you just slipped in. That says, if my people. That doesn't mean that anybody's more special than the other, but what it does mean is that some of us in this room, you've entered into a father-child relationship with God. And the Bible says that all of us, every single one of us, church, unchurch, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopals, and the rest of them, the nobodies and the nuns and all the rest, everybody, the Bible says all of us, we're in need of a Savior because we all sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so that everybody is equally condemned. We're not all alike in how we sin, but we're all alike in that we all sin. So how's that? We all get that blanket. But the Bible says that what was this nation founded upon, as I mentioned, as the pilgrims came across for the advancement of the Christian faith, that Christian faith says that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me. You say, why would He do that? He was God Himself. He was the Creator. And so He came to this earth to die on that cross for your sins and for mine. And the reason He did that was because that was the only way that we could ever escape the penalty of our sin, and that's a place called hell, eternal separation from God. And the message of this nation had always been that there's one way to escape that condemnation, and that's by putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Now, I understand that now the message has broadened out to where it would say, just pick a path, and as long as it works for you, you're okay. Well, the only problem with that is the Bible says there's only one path. Jesus Christ said He was the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And so the message today is this: if my people, I would ask if you're one of His. Have you ever realized your sinful condition? And sometimes stop your life long enough and reached out to Jesus Christ, received Him as your Savior, looked upon Him as the Savior of your soul. I did when I was a young person. I knew that heaven wouldn't be my home without Jesus Christ because I knew the way I lived, and really it doesn't take us long to live with ourselves. We know us better than anybody else. And I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I received Him as my Savior. And I challenge you, if you've never done that, that you do that this morning. Better than anything else I could tell you, that's the needed act from you. And that's how you get to be my people. God says, if my people. And then it goes on to those of you who are saved, which are called by my name, again, saved by the name of the Lord, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And so if you're a believer in this room today, you say, what can I do against such tide? What can I do against such wickedness out there? Well, I tell you how we can do. We can say, Lord, I can answer for me. And I'm going to live my life and give my influence to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can give myself to living a life like this book says I'm supposed to. And you realize that if you did that, and you did that, and I did that, and churches around started doing that, without big fanfare, that we'd see the Christian principles instituted in our region and to spread beyond there. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I'd like to enlist every Christian in this room today into an endeavor this week that we all engaged in together. You say, what's that, preacher? That we would seek the face of the Lord. You say, how do I do that? In your prayer time. You say, I don't have a great prayer time. This is a wonderful time to start one. That you'd give a little segment of time in the morning, in the evening, sometime you've got freedom, you can break away from distractions. I'd like to enlist everybody. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face. Would you seek God's face on behalf of America? We haven't sent enough missionaries yet. We haven't run enough church buses yet. We haven't gone and knocked on enough doors of people to invite them to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church yet. We haven't gotten to meet enough of our neighbors yet and share the glorious gospel with them. We've got work to do. And I would love for God to be pleased with us seeking His face and send a great moving of His work in this land. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm thankful that we're founded on biblical principles. We have many people in our land who have never bowed the knee to a false god, and they stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm grateful to be living in this nation. But I would like for you to know my twofold message in coming today. One, if you're not sure that you're His people, and we use that phrase these days, oh, these are my people. Well, God says, if my people. And that means that you're His. In today's vernacular, in this current age that we live in, that would mean that you're named by the name of Jesus Christ. You may not be a Baptist. You may not know me. You may not have ever been to a church like this. But you know the name of Jesus Christ. Not know it in your head, but you know it in your heart. You've put your faith in Him. If my people. That's my first reason for coming today, to make sure that everybody in this room has an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You can do that right there in your seat. It's really a simple matter. You believe that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who was God Himself as well, to die on the cross for you and for me. Knowing that He died and was buried and rose again, you, in your heart, reach out to Him and say, I believe You are the Savior and I want You as mine. That's my first purpose in coming today. My second purpose is, if you do know the Lord as your Savior, God has strategically placed you to live in this nation. You could have been born anywhere, as could I. But since He strategically placed us here, then I believe He's put a burden on us to pray for our homeland. If we were in another land, I'd pray for that one. He's put a strategic burden on you to pray for this land that you live in. And I'm asking all of us as an army in all of our houses this week to be seeking His face. Lord, forgive our land. You say, I'm not doing those wicked things, but I pray oftentimes, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. We're running around here like there is no God. Forgive us. And so I'd like to enlist every believer in this room. You don't have to sign up on a piece of paper. You tell the Lord, Lord, I'm in that army of prayers this week. I'm going to seek Your face, and I challenge you to do it. Father, would You bless us now? Is our prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And the invitation I already told you was simple. It's number one, if you're not saved, you're not sure that you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, I have very little doubt that you've heard a lot about Him growing up here in this region. But you don't remember a time when you ever did business with Him. And as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, just in this quiet moment, you scan back through the minutes, hours, and days, weeks, and months of your life. You don't remember a time, you remember knowing about Him, but you don't ever remember a time when you did business, personal business with God. Maybe you're religious. But see, I was religious all my life. I was born in church. But I had to come to a place where I personally, not on mom or dad's faith, but personally, let the Lord into my life, receive Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And if that's you today, I challenge you right there where you sit. I prayed something like this: Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not good enough to go to heaven, but I receive you and ask you to come into my life. Please save me and forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven. I prayed something like that. But if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I challenge you to do that today before it's eternally too late. And then, if you're saved, what do you say we get in the Lord's army together this week? What do you say we all enlist? We sign up together. We're not waiting to get drafted. We're volunteering. And this week specifically, for the rest of your life, that's fine, that's good. But I'm talking about this week. You'd say, Preacher, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I'm going to join you this week in specific times for prayer for America. Would you lift your hand up and say, I'm going to join you. Just keep them up for a second. I'm joining you. I'm joining that army. I'm praying for this nation. You don't have to report back to me. We don't have to do it all at the same time. Anyone else? Say, I'm going to be praying for this nation. Thank you. And put them down. Lord, I pray that you'd hear from all of us this week. And we'd be on our face, seeking your face for this land. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play? And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. I told you we're twofold today. One, if you're not sure that you're saved, maybe right there in your seat, you prayed to the Lord. And you said, Lord, you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And you'd like to slip down here to the front and I'll meet you down there. You'd like for me to express it to the church that you called out to the Lord in prayer and got saved. Maybe you need help in that. There were some things that were unclear. That would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. As they play through just one more verse, this one's for you. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, or you just got saved, you just prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you slip out and come and let me rejoice with you? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I want us to take that serious. Everybody who raised your hand, and maybe you didn't raise your hand, maybe you didn't understand what I was asking, but I'm enlisting everybody. Again, you don't have to call back. You don't have to send any paperwork in to say, hey, I did it. It's just between you and the Lord, but I'm asking all of us to seek His face. You say, Preacher, this nation's too far gone. I hear people say I read prophecy and I don't see America in that. I understand all those things, but like Curtis Hudson said one time while he was preaching, an old preacher, he's in heaven now, he said, I ain't trying to save this ship. He said, I'm just trying to pluck as many people off of it as I can before it goes down. I don't care how it works out. God's got it all taken care of, but I believe that He could come back today. And if He doesn't come back today, then I'd like to see Him do a great work in the nation that we have until He does. Amen. Thank you for being here. I'm going to ask Brother Gabriel, if you don't mind, to come to the pulpit. And you didn't get to meet him unless you're in the Victory Bible class, but he's going to be preaching for us tonight. And he's a wonderful, wonderful preacher. He's a wonderful man of God. I'm going to ask him to pray and dismiss us. This does two things. Let me get to the back. And then since he's not here, his family won't have to go to the back. And I'm sure they'll thank me for that. So he's got teenagers and they'd like to stay up here anyways, I'm sure, instead of going back and get me. But we'll let you meet him tonight. And then I'll be back in the lobby. And I just want to say thank you so much for being in church on the Lord's Day. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful crowd. What a great day to have you here. Brother Gabe, would you pray for us?
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together in church. And we are grateful this weekend for the liberty and freedom that we enjoy in this country to gather and worship you. And I do pray that we would take the challenge from Pastor today to be a blessed nation. And may we understand what makes America great is the founding principles on biblical principles. And Lord, would you help us to know you as our Savior, to live in obedience to your word and to your will. And I do pray that we would see the effect of a church family committing every day to going to the throne of grace on behalf of our country and praying for revival and praying, God, that you would use us individually to make a difference in the lives of those around us. Lord, would you bless now the afternoon, give the church family rest and safety. Bring us back tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.